All right, we are back in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. As you know, we're making our way through the Ten Commandments. And I have a goal for you during the summer. I'm wanting you to memorize the Ten Commandments. And so I have given you a series of hand motions that we've gone through for a number of weeks. So today it's pop quiz time, and I've got to see how well you have the Ten Commandments memorized. You'll get to go back to the video if you need a little remedial help. But here goes. I'm going to give you a number, and let's see if you can give the hand motions for it. How about number two? Commandment number two. Hold up your hands. See if you can give me. I have almost everybody that has two fingers up like this, and one is bowing down to the other. This is the idol when it's bowing down. And the second commandment is do not have idols or don't bow down to idols. One of my favorites, number six. What is number six? You've got your six shooters out. Ba-bam, bam, bam. That's a fun one. And so it's do not murder, right? All right, I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to ask you, which number is the binoculars? Which is the binoculars? Number 10, because we've got 10 fingers. They turn into our binoculars. Don't covet. All right, today we are continuing on, and we are at number 5. Today we are at the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment is one in which, it's one that deals with the relationships that are the immediate part of our lives. One of the things that you're going to notice as we turn this corner today, in fact, there's right behind me, you'll notice that the first four commandments predominantly deal with our relationship with God. The second half of the second six of the commandments deal with our relationship with man. And so we turn that corner today. We've dealt with the first four commandments that are all about the vertical relationship. And now we move towards the horizontal relationship. And that's what comprises the Ten Commandments. That should start ringing a lot of bells for you. It did for me this week because I was reminded, what did Jesus say? A law guy came to him and said, hey, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus says, you know what? All the laws and the prophets, they hang on two commands. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Think about the Ten Commandments. First four deal all with how to love God. Second six deal with all how to love your neighbor or love people. And so all of the law and the prophets are around these two, and that's what summarizes, again, the Ten Commandments. Today we are in this essential relationship, the one that starts out life for all of us. It's a relationship with father and mother. That's the fifth commandment. Let's read it together. It's Exodus chapter 20, starting in 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that your Lord your God is giving you. The parental relationship is the first and most important relationship, and in fact, it's the one that, it largely shapes who we become, at least early on in life. I love this quote from Kevin DeYoung. This is what he says. When you come across a kind, considerate, capable student in your class, or across someone in your workplace who seems hardworking, conscientious, responsible, and considerate, more often than not, you owe a debt of gratitude to that person's parents. Because the parental relationship is so forming and does so much in shaping who we are, at least early on in life, that oftentimes parents are one of the main motivators for how we're shaping the spots of our lives. Now, there can be good exceptions to this, of course. Good parents can have bad kids, and bad kids can have good parents. So that can always happen. But the general direction, the general focus or aim of kind of life is that God has made it so that good parents generally shape kids so that they're the benefit to the family and that they're a benefit to all of society. It's our relationship with our parents that is actually the first place where we learn about authority. Authority, because our parents are telling us to do things. And so we are complying with that. And if you ever run across somebody who has not learned that lesson, that they're going to have trouble with all kinds of authority in life. They're going to have trouble with governmental authority. They'll have trouble with police authority, school authority, company authority. All kinds of authority issues will come up if they don't have that initial shaping that came from their parents. And of course, civilization over millennia has relied upon the family unit, the parental relationship with kids. And when that forms properly, then society tends to run the way God has designed it. I think that there's a little doubt that the thrust of the fifth commandment surrounds honor for our parents, those who have raised us. But this was a surprise for me this week. There's actually other ways that to think about father and mother. And so, again, this commandment may apply beyond our parents, and it could apply in this way. For instance, a father figure oftentimes in the Bible was the king. The king was considered the father. Think about our own nation. And the first president of our nation, George Washington, would be considered the father of our nation. Wouldn't we say that? I mean, that's sometimes even words that we use. And so the king or the religious or the institutional leader might be considered like a father. It could also be a father in the sense that you have an ancestor that is fatherly. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the patriarchs of the faith, and they're considered the fathers of the faith. In my own line, I've got an ancestor. His name's Daniel Boone. He is kind of an ancestor of note, and so he would be a father figure in my ancestral line. And so that's one way, another way to think about it. You could also think about somebody that would be a spiritual leader. So, for instance, somebody that is a pastor or an elder, maybe somebody who has discipled you, that might be considered a father or a mother figure. And so there's lots of ways to think about this idea of honor for father or mother. But I think the most applicable way, the way that probably makes the most sense to most of us today, and the way I want to aim this, is about the people who raised you. They could be biological or they could be, again, adoptive, but either way, it's the individuals that had the shaping influence upon raising you, and that's what I think is the main thrust of this passage, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about honor for father and mother. You know, I've said previously that there are times in which we remember these Ten Commandments, and we're remembering them as something that was anciently given. That's why I've got the stone tablets up here again as a reminder. But there's something that have carried on throughout all generations, and we continue to apply those even today. And this idea, again, of a father and a mother, important offices, is something that is important for us to remember. Now, again, in a congregation this size, I am quite sure that there are some here who have not had good parents. In fact, I was with somebody just a couple weeks ago, and they were reminding me that they had parents that were abusive. And in fact, they tried to still keep in relationship with them, but it was hard because that was not a good relationship. And I'm not saying that God excuses that or God looks the other way for that. In fact, that's not something we're doing, is honoring today all of the bad things that have happened with our parents. That's not it at all. But we are to give a level of honor to our parents. That's what the fifth commandment is all about. I just heard this last week. Maybe you followed in a story that was in the news. It was about a mother who left her kids in a car and was in a very hot zone. And she went and left them for 90 minutes to go in for a medical beauty treatment. And one of her children died and the other one was hospitalized as a result of her negligence. Again, that's not something that we're saying we're honoring in any way. And God wouldn't honor that. And yet the fifth commandment does apply without qualification, honor your father and mother. So I'm asking you today, what does that mean? And how do we do that? And are there any things that we need to pay attention to here that doesn't mean? And so that's what I want to do today. I want to give you four things of how you, if you wanted to honor your father and mother, how would you go about doing that? Four things. Here we go today. The first way to honor father and mother is by showing respect. And what do I mean when I say respect? Respect is having a good opinion of the character or the ideas of your parents. And so that's a question I have for you today. Do you in general have a good opinion about your parents? I realize that there are ways in which our parents do things that just, you know, drive us crazy. They bother us. Shall we say there's certain things that are idiosyncrasies for our parents that every generation says about the generation that preceded them? And in order just to have a little bit of fun with this, of the idea of our parents doing things that kind of bother us, I have really enjoyed the progressive car commercials, Don't Be Like Your Parents. And I have one of my favorites I have to show for you today. Every generation has parents that do things that drive them crazy. My mother, I will never forget this, we would go to my grandparents' house, and my grandfather, next to his big chair, had a spittoon that he regularly used. Big plug of chewing tobacco that was inside, and it was into the spittoon. That drove my mom crazy. She just disliked that. It was just gross on every, you know, on every horizon. But those are things that happen when we have parents. Let's face it, it's not always easy to respect parents. However, it's one of the ways that we honor them. Today, gray hair is not necessarily considered something to be honored. I think in biblical times, it might have been a little bit more. There was a sign of respect that came with older age and gray hair. Today, that's considered out of date. It's considered something that is not understanding of popular culture or technology or other things that are valued. And so in general, it's easy today not to have respect for your parents. But God calls us to have that respect, that honor for them. That's one of the ways we show honor, is by showing a modicum of respect. I've got a favorite story about this that I just remember over the years. My son was involved in Taekwondo. And Denise actually was involved in Taekwondo with my son. Little known fact, this is a green belt right here. So yeah, she did that, yep. So no, you know, watch out. She's a trained killer, all right? My son was a part of Taekwondo, and the dojo that he belonged to was a Christian, Korean Christian guy, Master Choi. And Master Choi would have these potlucks that would be after one of our meets. And the same thing would happen, and I'd watch it happen after a while with just some glee in my heart. Because Master Choi would say, all right, all the food is set out. He'd always pray over it. And then he would say this, I want grandparents to go first. And you would watch all the mothers with little kids that have just gone through all their little meat. And they would be like, but, you know, kids always go first. And Master Choi would hold his ground. No, it is the grandparents that go first. And he was teaching something of value in that very moment. He was saying, age matters here. There's somebody that is our senior that we're going to show honor to right now. And it just went against the grain of everything that was, well, an American mom at that time. But that is something that was valuable, and it was a valuable lesson to be taught. Respect is the first part of honor. We are to respect our father and our mother. The second way we show respect is by obeying. And I'm saying obey for the most part. Obedience means that we do what our parents ask. If our parents say, clean your room, we comply with that, well, not because we want to or because that's necessarily something that is, you know, really going to make our day, but we're doing that because mom wants us to do that. She's asked us to do that. And usually when we're a child, we don't quite know why we're doing that, but later on in life, it makes a lot of sense to us when our parents are asking us to do something. Obedience implies that there's the giving of instructions or commands and that there is compliance with the child in doing that. You'll notice I say for the most part because actually there are limits to that because authority actually can be abused. And so if your parents are ever asking you to do something that is against what God wants you to do, then that would be a time at which you would not comply with obedience to your parents. If your parents are saying, hey, I don't want you to follow God, or I don't want you to go to church, or I don't want you to tell us about Jesus, you'd have to say, I can't do that because God values that. And so you would be, that would be an instance into which you would not be doing that. But let's face it, for the most part, parents are asking for, you know, things that are pretty reasonable. They're saying, clean your room, do your chores, keep up with your homework, come home before curfew. All of those things are reasonable and they are to be honored. However, parents should not expect that grown children need or operate the same way as young children. In fact, I've learned myself in having older kids that I have to learn the art of biting my tongue. It's because, and this is amazing, but my kids today do not want as much of my advice as they once did. And so I've got to learn that role as a parent of coming alongside now as much more of a coach, as a helper, as a dad who just cares for their lives. When our parents become older, that dance can oftentimes become much more difficult. You know that my mother was 98 years old. She died 18 months ago. And I tried to do for my mother whatever I could. I try to honor her in this way by saying, I'm going to obey what you'd like. And so I asked my mom about places where she might live. Like, what do you think? And what would you like? And I tried to comply with that. I asked my mom, what about doctors? You know, what doctor did you really like? And would you like to go back to again? Or do you want to switch? And my mom saw a myriad of doctors. So we, you know, we were in a rodeo with that. My mom, you know, what do you want to, how do you want to use your money? What do you want to eat? All those kinds of things. I tried to give her as much latitude as possible. Now, there's one area where my mom desperately wanted me to have something, me do something for her, and I couldn't. And it was an iPhone. And I, you know, many of you are saying, why didn't you buy your mom an iPhone? That's just kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Well, the iPhone for me ended up being something that was potentially confusing for her. Dexterity was not a great thing at that moment. It ended up being something I think that may have just kind of been over her head. And she even pulled the one on me. Well, all the other residents have it. I thought, what is going on right now? So mom wanted the iPhone. I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's do a little trial. And I will get you an iPad because it has the same operating system as an iPhone. Learn to operate the iPad, and then maybe we'll graduate. If you get good with that, we'll graduate to the iPhone. I can't tell you the number of phone calls that I had that was about, the app went away. This won't open. What does it mean to update my operating system? I mean, you know, there are all these questions. It's just another phone call, another message of like, hey, help me. I'm lost here in the iPad land. As much as we want to honor our parents, we honor what they want. And we do that as much as we can, all the way up to some limits sometimes for me of the iPhone. You get the idea. We're still doing things that are probably in their best interest, even if we are not giving them necessarily what they want. The third way we show honor to our parents is through gratitude. This means that we are thankful and we're grateful. We recognize the sacrifices that they make. And by the way, you are saying verbally to your parents, thank you for this. Thank you for X or Y. My mother had a rule that she always followed, and she drilled it into me. If you ever get a gift from somebody, or maybe you went to somebody's house for a meal or some kind of a visit, it's followed by a thank you card. And I'm so grateful for my mom instilling that in me because it's something that's still my practice to this day for Denise and me both. And one of the things that my mother loved was when I would send her a letter thanking her for something. Maybe thank you for the meal that we went out and had. Thank you for the discussion that we had. She treasured those letters. Those were so important to her to be able to say, wow, I made a difference in my son's life, which is really all she ever wanted. And those letters meant something to her. My dad also was somebody who did very kind things for us. One of the things that Denise and I will always remember is my dad gave us a sum of money in order to buy our first house. And with that sum of money, we bought a house, We bought a refrigerator. We bought a washer and dryer, plus made the down payment. And, you know, it wasn't that much money, but it was enough to do all of that back in the day. And we remember that because we were poor as church mice. We might have even been the church mice. I mean, we had nothing. And so Dad stepped into the void in that way and made a big difference. And it was through many, many seasons that I thanked my dad repeatedly for that, because it had made such a difference for us. When was the last time you thanked verbally your parents, if they're still with us? And if not, maybe you're just even saying, God, I want to thank you for my parents and what they gave. I've got a little list of things here today that I want you to think about. And maybe today you're forming a little thank you list. And maybe you're going to thank your parents as soon as this service is over. Here are some ways that you might consider thanking them. How about for the basic necessities of food, shelter, and clothing? That's no small matter. In fact, if you look at the amount of money that it takes to raise a kid today, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's what your parents gave for you. How about emotional support? The number of times that you just needed to go back to somebody and say, this is what happened, and they were there for you. Life lessons taught, help with homework, sacrifice of money for private school or college, values and characters that were instilled, help for important life decisions, confidence and love spread over decades, and more, the list goes on. I'm arguing with you today. I'm encouraging you today. Would you have thankfulness to your parents? It's one of the ways that you show honor. Do that in writing, do that verbally, but make it expressed and make it a purposeful thing that you do. I love the story from Jen Wilkins. She's a writer, she's an author, and she says this: individualism says I should do what's best for me, regardless of what's best for others. At every turn, I'm told I should have what I want when I want it. She said, my husband and I, earlier this year, spent 2 weeks with an apparent narcissist named Charlotte. From the moment we stepped into her space, it was all about her. She demanded our full attention day and night. Forget rational arguments or needs of others. It was the Charlotte show 24/7. She thought only of herself and demanded loudly and often that her needs be met. Our schedules bowed to her every whim, and she uttered not a single word of gratitude in the 14 days that we spent with Charlotte. And we didn't mind one bit, because all 7 pounds, 15 ounces of her was doing exactly what she should be doing. Our newest grandchild's age-appropriate focus was to declare me right now anytime she was tired, hungry, or needed a diaper change. Babies self-advocate as a survival instinct. They understand only their immediate needs. But what is appropriate in an infant is appalling in an adult. In an obsession with me right now culture that doesn't just value this, but it values childishness even more than youthfulness, it's legitimizing this all the way into adulthood. An adult who demands what he wants when he wants it is costly not only to his community, but he's costly to the others that are around him. I bring this up today because I'm saying that was you once. And you are thankful to God that you had some parents that, at least for a time, were able to idle their own interests because your interests demanded their attention, and they gave that to you. And so again, today, you know, render up a level of thankfulness in your heart for your parents and the sacrifice they made for you. All right, there's a fourth and final way I want you to see how to honor your parents. It's by caring for them. And caring happens throughout their lives, but maybe it's most important as they come to the end of their lives. When our parents are no longer able to care for themselves, it's as if the tables turn, and now we are the parents to our parents. I'm reminded that we enter this world and we exit the world the same way. We enter the world naked. We exit the world mostly naked. We enter the world with no things. We exit the world with no things. We enter the world with a group of people that love us around us. We exit the world with a group of people around us that love us. That is the way that God has designed it, is that we almost revert to almost a form of childhood as we're on our way out. Our parents need various levels of care from us throughout all of life. Can you care for your parents? Can you care for your parents when they perhaps face hardships or when they face setbacks? Can you care and really rejoice with your parents when maybe they succeed or they win something or they do something that is advancing of their lives? And so that's as important as being there in the hard times is being there in the good times, and that's what it means to care for parents. I will never forget the day. It was a number of years ago now. My father called me and said, "Brian, I need for you to come. I am no longer able to live in my mobile home on my own, and I'd like for you to come and take me to find a location that is my next spot to live." And so I went, and I picked up my dad, and I will tell you to this day, it's like a clip out of a movie. It felt like a trip to college in reverse, you know, because I'm helping my dad go find an assisted living home. He said, "I have always wanted to live on the Gold Coast of Oregon. Would you take me so that I could find my next place to live?" And so we take off in the car, and we're now on the adventure to go to find Dad's next spot. Now, we did find that, actually, in Gold Beach, Oregon, and it was a wonderful spot for him. But it was on that trip that we found out my dad had Parkinson's disease. We were at a spot where we were looking at a facility, and the woman said, "How long has your dad had Parkinson's?" I said, what? She said, "Oh yeah, the signs are very evident. I thought you knew that." And so we ended up going to, obviously, a neurologist after that, and it was confirmed. My dad ended up living at that spot for about 7 months until he fell and broke his hip. And so now I was with my dad in rehab while he was in Eugene, Oregon, and then he was all the way up here where he would actually be next to me in an adult family home. I say all that because my dad needed different levels of care during different parts of that decline, and it was my honor to be involved in his life. In fact, there are some tender, tender moments that would bring me to tears if I were to tell you about them today. You honor your parents by caring for them, and when you are caring for them, you are actually loving and serving God in that moment. Honor your father and your mother. The predominant application of this is your parents, the ones who raised you, and we do that in a variety of ways. We respect them, we obey them, we thank them, we care for them. And when we do this, I want you to notice something. God gives us a promise. Exodus chapter 20 verse 12 again. This is the same verse we've had this morning. Honor your father and your mother, and here it is. This is the promise. That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now remember, when was this given? Mount Sinai. We're wandering in the desert. We're not in the promised land yet. And God is saying, I've got a future for you. I'm taking you into the land. And if you honor father and mother, I'm giving you longevity in the land. It's as if the land is going to be pleased with you. It won't spit you out if you are honoring me in this way. And I think, although we're not the Israelites in the promised land, that promise is still existing for us. It's creating a climate that is a good climate that God wants, that God values when we are honoring our parents. And it's giving us somehow longevity of our own lives, a fullness of our own lives, a richness of our own lives when we are taking that very, very seriously. That's never, ever easy. It's never easy. It's going to cost you time. Many times it's going to cost you money. And that's something that you just got to count. It's just, that's what it's going to take in order to honor father and mother in this way. But every time we honor our father and our mother, it's what God calls us to do. And so I'm asking you the question today, how are you going to practice this? What are some steps that you're going to take today? Again, if mom and dad are still around, if they're not, then maybe you're going to have some quiet time with God just even to talk to him about this. But if they are still around, how are you going to practice that? What are some things that you're going to do today that are going to say, I'm taking this seriously. I want to honor my father and my mother. And maybe one of those four things especially, you know, really came to the forefront for you of respecting them or obeying them, thanking them, caring for them. Any one of those is a way to honor father and mother right now. And it would be a great step for you to take today because every time you do that, you're fulfilling one of the commandments. And more importantly, you're honoring God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Again, I'm even using that word father right now. And you are that father figure to us. But you have also given us fathers in our lives, mothers in our lives. And the one that we've predominantly focused upon today, Lord, is the individuals that raised us and the sacrifices that they made, the needs that they have along the way. We want to honor our father and mother because it's something you call us to, and it's because it's something that honors you. And so empower us today towards that end. It may be a little countercultural to do that, but we, Lord, are yours. And so we want to lean into what values, what you value the most, and make that something that we value too. Thank you for fathers and mothers today. We wish to honor them in your name. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.